Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, Your Call to Action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth.
Welcome, everyone, to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I'm here today with my co-host, Dennis Gaither, and we're going to be talking about how to be gentle with yourself and to be gentle with thyself when life throws you a curveball. We're gonna talk to Dennis, and we're going to find out how we practice those spiritual principles that Dennis is here every month teaching us how to do and how to be in that. So let me remind everybody what Dennis's practice has been. For Dennis, the process of healing is a sacred endeavor, a meeting place of shared purpose and intention. His work draws upon decades of spiritual practice and universal principles of mindfulness and nonviolence. So today we're going to talk about what do we do when life throws us a curveball? How do we respond to the events that happen? How do we treat ourselves? And how do we treat the people that are in that shared experience with us? And Dennis has quite the story to share with us. Welcome to the show, Dennis.
Thank you, Cornelia. It's always a pleasure to be here with you again. So yes. Happy to for this opportunity to share something. They say sometimes that we need to teach what we need to learn.
Yeah, they do say that.
So learning to be more gentle with myself has always been a challenge. And in that title, the secret is to be going gentle with the self, the larger self. This particular time is a little bit of a different slant than what we've done before. It's not so much along a topic as along a story, but bringing things into the story. And I love it the way spirit sometimes has a sense of humor. Because I was sort of, you know, for whatever reason, I seem to be kind of having a little writer's block or presenter's block about what am I going to talk about this time?
Yeah.
And I was sort of having this thing going on here and asking for some help, some guidance with that. And then I come out of work one evening very recently, just a few days ago, and there is the door to my car smashed in. And somewhere along the way, there was a realization, oh, I can just talk about that. So what I want to do is actually share about that experience, but more not about just the story, but actually the process that I use to work with it. And it's kind of like a plate of hors d'oeuvres. Some of this, some people may find useful and some people may not. So I'm not going to claim anything other than this is something that was really useful for me.
Well, might I say that, you know, you create these show notes and you create the topic of what we're going to talk about. And it was interesting. I'm not going to share my observations yet until later on in the show, because I really just want you to share what you're going to share. But I find this timing of it, the synchronicity of it, and everything that you're sharing timely as usual. Because you always bring, just like when you brought us the wheel of projection, these are always events that are timely that we can use in our own evolution.
Absolutely.
I'm grateful that you brought this topic today, and I look forward to hearing this story unfold. So take us there. You were at work. You worked all day. It was a full day of work. You come outside, and do tell us what kind of car you're driving.
Okay. Well, it's a Prius, 2015 Prius. It was parked outside the place where I work. And so basically I come walking out and there are many things on my mind, and I see that the car door has been smashed in to a point where the door cannot be opened. And, you know, so I had the kind of reactions that probably most of us would have initially. I was sort of shocked and kind of upset and a little bit. Mostly I was really like, how am I going to deal with this? I got all these things to do. These kind of things that were spinning. Not too atypical. So I'm going to give you a little background though. What this is it's an exiled part of myself that gets activated. Little part that feels unsafe, that feels like the world is a dangerous place.
Okay.
It's not the wholeness of who I am, but it's a part.
Okay.
And just the way we are as human beings here, that the truth of who we are, the deepest part, is not really a part. It's just actually our wholeness, and that it is safe, and it has a sense of safety because that's its truth. It's able to relate with a sense of compassion and kindness to inner parts of ourselves in the outside world, and that's really who we really are. But as we arrive here in this world where we imagine that we are separate from our source and from each other, that fragmentation is within us as well. We've got lots of different little aspects. And some of those carry old experiences that are kind of hidden away. So we call those exiles. And so this is one of my exiles that gets bumped up here.
Mm.
That was the first reaction. Then along come some other places inside. There's some aspects of all of us that we have that can kind of manage things here, that kind of get things done for us, essential to our functioning. And it's sort of like I could experience them coming in and let's make some phone calls. Let's call the insurance company. Let's call the police, get a police report. And the exile starts to calm down.
One question that I have, did you feel like attacked? Did you feel like it was an attack, like a personal?
There were all kinds of kind of crazy thoughts there that went on for a little while. I mean, things like maybe somebody who didn't like me or mad at me and smashed my car on purpose, because there was no sign of a note or another driver or anything like that. So there were some kind of wild kind of thoughts there, but they had to do with the belief the world's not a safe place.
Okay, that's good that you were able to, it's all a process.
It's a process. Right? So initially those things were just spinning without that much awareness, but calmness started to come in, i.e. a little bit of self-presence starts to come in. Then there's a little bit more perspective. Wow, look at those thoughts.
Yeah.
This is not very likely, really. But anyway, what happened then was I talked to somebody from the insurance company, and as it turns out, the person was very kind, very patient. It was maybe a little bit rattled kind of discretion of what had occurred. But that person's kindness and calmness actually calmed me down.
Wow. So were you standing outside of your car?
Oh, yeah, I was standing outside the car, my cell phone, doing all this.
Okay. Yep.
I'm doing all that. So this is kind of one of the things when we connect with that presence in ourselves, it helps other people as well. I finished that call and the policeman came by, and the policeman was also extraordinarily kind and helpful.
Yeah.
And suggested a possibility that maybe from across the street, somebody had just backed into the car and that's pretty likely. And it was a place that sold hearing aids. And I thought maybe the person just didn't hear the sound of metal crunching. So that gave a little bit more pause, but then I started a practice then, and this has sort of been ongoing here, but I'm going to use a practice that is described beautifully by Tara Brach in a book of hers called Radical Compassion, and also on some various things. And it's called RAIN, RAIN. So the first place of RAIN is just simply recognize that you're upset. Recognize something. And then the next part of it is the allow, just allow it to be there. Not try to fight it. So I'm starting to do this, and I'm starting to actually get a sense of intention of, I'm going to use this particular event. I'm just going to use this, and I'm going to approach it with a sense of curiosity and watch myself. And just use this for healing, because there's healing, there's an opportunity for healing or something in everything. So there's just a recognizing and allowing at this point, and just really then being open to the kindness of strangers, and then starting to feel gratitude for the kindness of strangers. And then in there, then as I start to pay more attention, I'm noticing some of the beliefs that are coming up. Like, I need this, I've been personally attacked because my car is attacked. Like, I'm identified with this vehicle, that somehow it's me somehow. Totally a belief that has no basis in reality. But without bringing it into awareness, we respond as if it does. There were different kinds of attachments, but different kinds of beliefs. So it's kind of like a little process of just forgive me for believing that I need this car. Forgive me for believing that my salvation, my safety lies here. So basically just kind of taking some time breathing, and then at some point just eventually getting back into my car, since I couldn't open the front door, I had to climb over things, and I realized if I get an accident, I'm going to be trapped in this car. So a little fear there. So again, it's a little taking some breaths, just noticing that, breathing to it, allowing it, and letting it move through. I got home just fine. So, but then things continued. We get to continue with, kind of the initial problem is sort of taken care of. The phone calls are made, and whatever arrangements that need to happen are getting taken care of here. And then I get to get a little bit of compassion from people that I'm talking to at home, and some friends on the phone. I had a phone meeting that night. And again, the investigate part of RAIN is about just really noticing what's going on in your body, particularly. It's being curious, but it's especially paying attention to what's arising physically, the tightness in the jaws, the little clenching here, the little constrictions, and then noticing how it softens with just a little gentle awareness. There's a little aside that I would say here that the way we're wired neurologically, the limbic system, the amygdala, the emotional responsive part of the brain, it's actually most directly connected with our body. That's the most direct communication. This higher cortex part that separates us from animals and things. Its connection with our emotion is more through the body. It's almost like that part of us, the smartest part of us in that sort of way, at least what we think of as the smartest part, is kind of the last to know in a certain way. And that really tuning into the nuances of our feelings, of our emotions, is really best served by tuning into what's going on in the body. The little funny feeling in the stomach, the little constriction in the heart, but then noticing immediately as it starts to soften. So that was the process when I come home. And
so that was tracking. That was day one.
Yes. Well, this is still almost hour one here.
Hour one. Okay.
This is still hour one. It's evening at this point. As things soften and start to open, then it's like I'm starting to feel a sense of gratitude, gratefulness. And with gratitude, and we talked about that, I think it was the last time we talked about the gratitude, that from David Steindl-Rast, that there's actually always an opportunity in everything, even the event that I might not necessarily be grateful because my car got smashed in. But I could tune into the kindness of strangers and knowing that I'm going to be all right. And then something just really, really softened. I just completely relaxed. And then I really felt, I could feel myself a sense of connection with the unknown person on the other end of the phone and the wonderful police officer who was very conscientious, and obviously cared a lot about whatever had occurred, more about him in a little while. But what I find is that sense of gratefulness, it is, and of course there's many things written about how gratitude practice helps many things, and it's more on a scientific level. On a little bit more subtle level, it is both very nourishing, but it's also a bridge it opens the passageway to something deeper. By it kind of removes some blocks to get something else that might be a deeper experience. And as a part of that, another one of my practices is the workbook lessons of A Course in Miracles. 365 lessons. I started doing them 25 years ago, and I've been doing them ever since. Each one has an idea for the day, and there's a practice around it, which is designed to start with a practice and take you into a deeper experience. The lesson for that day was one called I Rest in God.
Ah.
And so I just came back to the lesson. And it's not just a matter of simply repeating words. It's not like some kind of an aphorism or things like that. It's more about you start with the words, but then you sink into the experience of it. So there was a sense of deep sense of restfulness, a sense of I'm safe, I'm okay. But there was also an aware that in all of this, I want to say a little bit about there's a presence inside. It's like all these little activated parts and managers, they're all doing something here, but there's also something that can stand outside of all of that. And the psychologists can call it a witnessing self. I call it just self because it's more than just that, just a witness, because that presence inside can actively engage with us. And it can extend kindness and compassion. It can be in a healing relationship with us and with each other. Self-presence of the police officer, self-presence of the insurance officer person, they actually had an influence with me, and my own self-presence was having an influence. And that's the go gently with thyself, capital S self, is learning to get in touch with that. I want to say a little bit more about it, about that self idea, because it may sound a little abstract and esoteric. There's something that's not a part. It's a part of our wholeness, our oneness, and it's actually a shared self. I have my own experience of it, but you and I and everybody listening and not listening is sharing the same self, actually, at a very deep level. That can seem a little abstract and esoteric. And one of the work that I found that I really appreciate, work of Dr. Richard Schwartz, internal family systems work, he has a very concrete, I think, way of actually not so much trying to define that capitalist self in some philosophical way, but how do you tell if you're actually aligned with it or not? And the way you tell if you're aligned with it or not is how you feel towards something. How you feel towards another person, how you feel towards something within yourself. He has a list of a number of C words like clarity and compassion. But the ones that I find the most useful is if I can simply be even a little bit curious, mm-hmm. or if I can relate to maybe this upset part of myself with some compassion, what it does is I'm now no longer quite so identified with it.
Yeah.
I'm still in relationship to it. Mm-hmm. And I can almost kind of hold it I can even reparent it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so that is moving more and more into capital S self, the self.
Yeah. I have a question for you.
Cool.
So how would this scenario played out for you 20 years ago?
Oh my goodness.
How
well, at some point previously in my life, I might have stayed just really blended with this part that sees this as a big catastrophe. Mm-hmm. And got really angry. How dare somebody damage my car and then leave and not even leave a note or anything. And could basically see myself as a victim.
Right.
And see this as, at that point, unknown person is my victimizer.
And then you could.
I'll continue with just where this could actually potentially go, because it actually goes this way a lot with people. Mm-hmm. I could, having created that sense of what reality is, then that same part of me, what we call ego, the separate the part that wants to be separate, now is going to seek some kind of vindication. And it kind of holds out the promise that if you get this vindication, whatever it is, that then you'll feel better. And maybe you do get a little gratification for a little while, but it doesn't last and the wound stays. So it could play out quite differently, and eventually the sense of the surface feelings might subside, but the wound stays there and it keeps acting, and it kind of comes out in different ways, all kinds of different ways. It can come out in a sense of worry, vigilance. Oh my God, I got to be really careful where I park my car now. Could come out as just feeling really depressed, despondent. Oh my God, the world is a bad place and I'm just a helpless little victim. There are many little stories which that can continue to be spun.
Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to let the audience know today, especially people that are listening in and tuning in for the first time that are hearing you, is what an authentic human being you are and how you're practicing the nonviolence in the experience. Because, I mean, that's what you were doing, is you were responding to this event, observing, you know, the parts that you describe, but also from a place, from a higher level of awareness that really practices nonviolence and do no harm. So no harm towards yourself, no harm to other people. And that's the part to, you know, recognize that this is where we are today. You are today in your evolution, in your practice, mm-hmm. right? Because like we said, maybe 20 years ago, maybe, you know, 30 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, this wouldn't have been this way. But it's through the work, the spiritual inner work, the principles that you teach and talk about, what you've learned in the Course of Miracles, what the work that you do with the people that you support, the work you do on yourself, resting in God, all of that is all the alignment that you're talking about.
Well, thank you. One of the keys, I'll just add something, that one of the keys there is to have an intention. I kind of skipped over this, but early on in this process, I had an intention of how I'm going to experience this.
Oh, so you set that intention after you
saw early the on after the crash, after the damage was discovered. I decided that this is how I'm going to experience this. Now, by setting an intention, let me be clear, it doesn't mean, oh, I don't want to be upset about this. I'm going to not experience upset. That actually doesn't work very well. It's more about, I'm going to be curious. I'm just going to pay attention to my process with this and see how it all unfolds. As it turns out, I'll just give you a sneak preview. Actually, everything unfolded very well. But that's the little preview part of it here. And the other part that is really important is in our mindfulness, especially when we're following ourselves through something that might be upsetting or difficult, or maybe something where we really know we've kind of screwed up, is actually to bring a sense of kindness. Is actually to practice a sense of kindness with ourselves. That doesn't necessarily mean creating rationalizations and justifications. It just means having a certain kind of internal gentleness. Just having a certain gentleness with ourselves. There's a book I can suggest here, and it's called Good Morning, I Love You by Shauna Shapiro. I actually just read that book very recently. It's actually wonderful. Aww. Good Morning, I Love You, Shauna Shapiro. It's an easy read. And wonderful. It's a self-help book or whatever you want, but it's wonderful.
Beautiful. Sounds wonderful.
Yeah. So I want to continue a little bit further, because then as the evening kind of comes on, there's a space made and a little quietness and opportunity to do some deeper work with this. Because there are some parts that are kind of still unhealed. There's a lot of things that have been settled and calmed down here, but there's really a deeper level that one can go to.
So we have about a minute before we go to break. Do you want to talk about this before we go to break or after we come back?
I'll tell you what, I'll tell you just a little bit before, and then we'll come back here.
Okay.
And I'm just going to allude to it a little bit, but a vehicle that I actually use this time and like to use often is a meditation practice that comes from the Tibetan tradition called Tonglen. And it's been taught by many different teachers, but my personal favorite is Pema Chodron. She has a number of different books and products and other things. She's a wonderful teacher. But basically, the short story of it is rather than try to push away whatever it is that is unwanted, you actually breathe it in. You take a breath and you breathe it in. Mm. And on the out breath, you breathe out the healing. That's the basic nuts and bolts of that practice. Mm-hmm. You can let me know. I have probably just a few seconds left, but what I'll just tell you is that on the in-breath, what you're doing is you're allowing the experience to be there. What I found in my personal experience of it, it's at the same time my chest is expanding. Mm-hmm. It's almost like I am actually creating more space for it, mm-hmm. for whatever it is, and then breathing out the healing. And then there's a process of extending that from in this case, from within myself experiencing something to other people. That I think I want to spend a little bit more time talking about than in the few seconds that are remaining here. But okay, I'll say a little bit more. That as we kind of shift our own internal sense of something gone wrong or some suffering that we believe is there, as we shift it out of our own focus and kind of universalize it, becomes part of the human experience, our sense of aloneness with it it goes away and it becomes much softer. It's like, and so many times we use our suffering the ego uses it as a way to create a sense of separation, of isolation. And so this kind of works against that.
Good.
All right, to your break now.
Yes, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back with Dennis Gaither.
Have you ever wondered what your pets think about? Do you know what your pets are saying to you? Dr. Monica will be your pet's translator to help you understand what your pets are trying to communicate to you. Enhance the bond with your furry friends on Pets Talk with pet communicator Dr. Monica each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Dr. Monica, visit PetCommunicator.com.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
If you have been struggling with fear and anxiety, you know how debilitating these emotions can be. You constantly doubt yourself. You can't make decisions and feel more and more insecure and stuck. Dr. Friedman Schaub's book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, will provide you with the insights and tools to break through these challenges. Through a step-by-step process, Dr. Schaub explains how to resolve the subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety and build a strong foundation of inner peace and confidence. Visit www.thefearandanxietysolution.com and get your copy now.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
The Side Gig is an amazing way to get your favorite products for free, extra income, and have fun in the process. Hi, I'm Julia Hummingbird Jewel, and I've had so much fun marketing products that I love and use. If you're interested in a side gig, contact me by clicking on my reverse aging page at www.hummingbird-jewel.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
We are back. Thank you for listening and tuning in. If you are watching us live on Facebook, if you want to call into the show and talk to Dennis at 1-800-930-2819, or if you're watching this on YouTube, we would love it if you would subscribe to the channel. Thank you for listening and tuning in. Dennis, you were telling us before we went to break about this next phase of
the next phase. Then we'll talk about, I'm happy to talk about the next phase. So I talked briefly a little bit about the Tonglen practice, very briefly, because there's a lot more to it that one could do. But I'll just kind of walk you through a little bit, because I include a forgiveness process with it. And it involves, there were actually basically two main themes that I worked with in my evening practice. And one of them was that part of me that felt that shock and that surprise and the sense that the world's a dangerous place when I first came out.
Yeah.
So I was able to just kind of re-evoke that, but actually then be present with it in a kind of way and actually breathe it in. It's almost like a welcoming. It's a gentle welcoming for it to just come and just be inside me, because it's already there anyway, but it's in a more spacious place. And gently breathing out a healing for it. And the healing doesn't necessarily have to be terribly specific. It can be just a sense of safety or divine love or whatever. And then extending, the process of extending was then to anyone others that I knew who might have experienced. Actually, you just told me that you had a similar experience. So of others who may have had any kind of a situation where they suddenly had a surprise that was kind of shocking and upsetting to them, which is everybody. And is with each progressive breath, extending this all to basically to all humanity. So that it becomes much bigger and bigger. But there's a part of it of actually breathing in whatever the thing that's judged against, but there's also breathing out the healing. The healing light of forgiveness, of just love, of trust. And so the focus starts to shift more to the healing and to really being connected with that younger part of myself here.
Yeah.
And even without necessarily that many clear memories, but there were some from my own personal history of times when there were reasons to think that it might not be very safe from the standpoint of a very small child. But there's a deeper layer when you kind of extend that to that almost everybody has some kind of an experience that has some variation on that. There's a stepping back to a deeper layer that they all stem from some sense of separation, some sense of separation from source, from whatever you want to refer to that as the source, the divine God, from ourselves, from each other. And so the forgiveness is about forgive me for believing that I'm separate. Forgive me for believing that I'm separate from source, that I'm unsafe. And forgive me for forgetting that I actually am one with all, that I actually am in my deepest truth safe. So there's the healing that happens there, but it's truly by coming, not as an intellectual process, but by really connecting with that, going into that sense of shock and surprise and the crazy thoughts of maybe somebody did this on purpose, which is totally not true. But then it shifted, and I was really interested in doing some work with whoever that other driver was. At that point, I had no idea who it was. Yeah. All I knew is they really messed my car up, and they left. And I thought maybe it was someone who kind of fled in panic, and I had a lot of a sense of now that maybe they're. I basically really kind of for some reason was drawn to the sense of there might be some fear with that. And what it moved through as I just stayed with that, just breathed with it, was recalling my own times as a rebellious teenager. Huh. And remembering times of doing things that I knew I really shouldn't be doing. But despite the outward show of bravado, inwardly really being kind of scared I was going to get caught and be in big trouble. And so this is what came up in that process, was the rebellious teenager who was really kind of a scared teenager who felt kind of lonely and was really trying to be accepted by a group of peers who did a lot of the same kind of thing, which is so often the case. So I got an opportunity just to recall that. I hadn't thought about this part of me for so long, to be with this one, to be with in a very kind and compassionate way. Forgive me for believing that I have to do these things in order to be loved and accepted. Forgive me for believing that I can't just be who I am. So there was a lot of healing with that little adolescent part of me.
Yeah, and it's the part in you that you adore and cherish so much, and that is the sacred part, right?
It is. Well, it is bringing that sacred part into relationship. It's the key is the bringing the self, capital S self, into relationship with whatever has been pushed aside.
Yes.
That's the key.
Yes.
The tendency is to keep pushing it aside. But then something interesting happened. Then I got a really clear message. It was very, very clear. That whoever this other driver was, they actually didn't know that they had hit my car.
Huh.
It was very distinct. And I thought about it. Yeah, it was across the road from a hearing aid place. Maybe they didn't hear the metal or something. But I really kind of, okay, I got that. And there was, you know, any residual sense of angst about the other person, it was just gone. It was just gone as I healed this little something in me, basically. Oh my God, how dare they do this and leave? Well, I did that and left, not that exact thing, but as a kid. And aren't we all tempted to do that sometimes?
Yeah.
So there was such a sense of peace with all that. And I'm going to bring it down to the next morning, the next day. So continue with the practice, more very wonderful, kind interactions with the car auto body shop. Everybody's really being very wonderful. But then the police officer calls me. And this police officer had actually gone to the trouble to check several businesses nearby that had security cameras and actually was able to do that to find the car, find the license number, and to call the other driver. And he told me that the other driver actually didn't know that she had hit my car, that she was mortified when he showed her pictures of the damage. She had no idea. She drove a big pickup truck and it was kind of much bigger than my little car and it just crumpled the door and she drove off. And so a little bit later that day, the police officer gave me her phone number. So I called her and she was very apologetic and she said, I didn't know. And I says, yeah, I know you didn't know. I know you didn't hear it. I totally get, I totally believe you. I think she was a little surprised that I totally believed her. But actually then I told her I'd done this practice the night before and I'd gotten a premonition that you didn't. There was a long pause. I don't know how that landed. But yeah. She was hugely relieved that I genuinely was not angry with her. And I really wasn't.
Yeah. And what a different experience.
Yes. And so she was very happy to give her insurance information. The whole thing is getting very taken care of, basically. And so it's very cool. But I remembered also with regard to her that morning, starting with an intention, there's no guilt. We start a forgiveness process with there's no guilt. And there's essentially an intention. I really don't want the other person to feel guilty. Now, the truth of the matter is I may not have much control over what guilt another person holds on to. I can't completely control that. But by relief, it's really about doing that for my benefit as part of my own release. But it can influence that because I could have had a different reaction and fed her already feeling bad about herself.
Yeah.
And I wasn't trying to make nice. That was just how I genuinely felt at that point.
Yeah. And you had chosen that you were going to extend that love, that you were going to extend that.
And so it was just kind of like, okay. So this is basically, I've just shared, this is kind of a process in which I went through here. I used a number of different practices and things from a number of different places. But really much of it had to do with self-compassion, of really connecting with self. And so then I feel really grateful for kind of the kindness of strangers and the many very kind teachers and helpers that I've had along the way. Some of them I've met, some of them the forgiveness processes from Sandy Levy Lundeen and Diederik Wolsak, and things people I've never met in person but have introduced me to practices like Pema Chodron. So I'm just really quite filled with gratitude and grateful for this opportunity to share a little of it as well. So thank you, Cornelia.
Wow, that's wonderful. So let's take our last break, Dennis. And when we come back, you're going to take the audience and me through a little meditation practice.
Cool. All right.
Okay, Zach, we're ready to go to break.
Thank you.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Tales from the Merworld with Amira Bath, exploring the mysteries of Atlantis and Lemuria, airing every second and fourth Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Tales from the Merworld Radio is a blend of mythology, theology, and ancient history, and Amira's own soul channelings. Are you ready to explore and validate the possibility that we are much more than our Earth bodies? Amira Bath's Tales from the Merworld Radio hold safe space discussions for remembrances and memories of topics like multidimensional existences and simultaneous lives. Together, we will be raising our vibrations through stimulating conversations and the opening and releasing of the remembrance of our soul purposes for this incarnation. Join me, Amira Bath, for Tales of the Merworld Radio.
Do you need a spiritual makeover or perhaps just a mental tune-up to optimize your life trajectory? Julia has over 45 years of wisdom to share with you, and she offers counsel by the hour where you can choose from a menu of her services and receive both consults and or product. Julia went from being a maid to having it made, and you can too. If you're interested, contact me at www.hummingbird-jewel.com.
Some people dream of freedom before they know it even once. What happens when we find ourselves in unimaginable freedom? Retired, children are grown, we've moved on from caregiving, and don't know what to do with all that time you never had before. Well, it's your life. It's up to you now. On the hit new show, Fresh Courage, it's your time to shine with host Sharon Rolfe on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Thank you, everybody, for listening and tuning in. I'm with Dennis Gaither. We're talking about what happens when life throws you a curveball. How do we respond? How do we respond? And do we respond with frustration, anger, anxiety, or do we respond with gentleness and curiosity? That's what we're talking about, Dennis.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Cornelia. During the break, Cornelia, you shared that you had had a similar experience as well. So that was quite a parallel process there.
Very much so.
Very cool. And kind of a similar outcome of things feeling, there's some healing that comes from it, receiving compassion from others.
That was a practice. You hadn't mentioned that yet. That was one of the things you wanted to mention too, is the compassion that you received from others. You had quite a few people reach out to you. And
oh, absolutely, I did. Yes, I do. So, you know, that it's not. Yes, it's an inner job, but we actually can really help each other out in many ways by how we are with each other. So, and I received a lot of lovely blessings from people around me, for sure.
Showing you how much they love you and they care about you. It's wonderful to feel and be a part of community.
Cool. So I want to just walk you through a meditation practice here. And it's a little variation of Tonglen for a really in-depth teaching about it. I just refer you to Pema Chodron, who is a wonderful teacher. But for those who would like to just kind of go through a brief meditation, and I include a little forgiveness process as a part of it here. So if you're intrigued, curious, that's an aspect of self, kind of curious, welcome to join in. So we start this practice by just sitting or lying in a comfortable way. I prefer sitting. Either eyes closed or just gazing downward at an angle, so there's not really a lot of things going on in the visual field. And just noticing the breath. Just settling in and being aware of whatever's going on in the body. And just noticing it, allowing it, letting it move through. Becoming more and more aware of the breath. Nice, easy, slow breaths. And it may be useful just to feel yourself in connection with the earth, with something that's grounding, that feels like a solid base, whatever that might be for you. It might be actually just a sense of inner connection with the earth. And I'll move through maybe a little faster than we would normally do this, but take your time with this part. But if you want, you can invite in a very gentle way something that may have created some disturbance for you, either within yourself or maybe apparently in somebody else. I'm going to suggest not choosing something that you would regard as particularly traumatic for this practice right now, at least by yourself. But something that might be a mild disturbance, just to try it out. And just allow that to arise in your awareness in a gentle, organic kind of way. And let it be okay if nothing does. That's fine too. And if there's some self-judgment about maybe there should be something, well, you can work with that. Whatever comes into your awareness, anything that might be a self-judgment, just allow it to just come in. See if you can have a sense of curiosity about it. And with each breath, just invite it in a little bit more. Just breathe it in. Feel the space inside, the spaciousness inside. And as you breathe out a healing for it. And it's really not necessary to be very specific about the healing. It could just simply be an intention of healing, or it could be just a sense of kindness or forgiveness. So I'm going to be still for a few moments and just allow you to do that. Just breathing in the unwanted, the thing that's been judged against, and breathing out the healing. And in particular, as you do that, really pay attention to the felt sense of it, how that feels in your body, in your heart, in your gut. Just noticing. Noticing if anything shifts as you do this. And just allowing whatever happens. And begin to just gradually extend your awareness out a little bit to include maybe another person or maybe some other people that might either now currently or have experienced same kind of disturbance, even if it's for some other different reason, but others that may have experienced the same thing as yourself. Again, breathing in the unwanted, breathing out the healing. And with each breath, just keep extending that circle of inclusion wider and wider, even out to people you don't even know, even out ultimately to everyone. And gradually shift the attention to the healing, the sense of a healing extending out. So we're kind of shifting the focus a little bit from the unwanted to the healing here, just in a very gradual way. But we're not excluding anything. And then see if there's some little thought, some little belief that you might be holding that might be kind of driving this disturbance in some way, a belief about yourself, perhaps about safety or about belonging or about being enough or being too much. See if there's some belief that you may be holding about yourself and may have held for much of your life even.
Dennis, we have 2 minutes.
Okay, we're getting there. And in the next 2 minutes, see if you can forgive yourself for the belief. Forgive me for believing and just kind of name what the belief is. And just like you're just offering it up into the healing universe, whatever you want to use. And see what you want to take in its place. Something that you may have forgotten that's true about yourself. Like, forgive me for forgetting that I am whole. I've never left God. I've never left myself. And then notice, even in this very short practice, how do you feel inside? Has anything shifted? And open your heart in gratitude for whatever the experience has been, for yourself, for allowing the experience to happen. And I think we're getting under the 2 minutes here. I'm going to suggest doing this practice that it's one best done in a lot more time than what we had here, but maybe you get the idea.
It's a great idea. Thank you so much, Dennis, for bringing us this wonderful experience of gentleness and compassion, and what you did when this happened to you with your car, and for the wonderful meditation always. For the sacredness that you so beautifully delivered to us. Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for listening and tuning in. And we'll see you again next time.
All right. Thank you, Cornelia. Thank you, Zach.
Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.